of a healthy church, or what a church kind of makes up, what's a good church. And we've been looking at Acts chapter 2, and what we see is four things that a good church should be: one that is focused on teaching, fellowship, worship, and evangelism. And so we really hope that Canaan and the people of Canaan, that we would be this type of a church, that we would be a church that is grounded in God's word, that we are teaching truth, we are preaching truth, that those who are involved are studying God's word, that they're getting into it, they're learning, they're growing in their faith. We hope that we would be a church that is a true fellowship, or koinonia, that's the Greek word for it, one where people are really fellowshipping, meeting with one another on their own, that they're encouraging one another, that they're challenging one another to grow in their faith, that they're supporting each other, keeping each other accountable. This is all what fellowship is about, and we hope that we would be that type of a church. We hope that we're a church that is also full of worship. That means coming corporately to Canaan to worship together as a body, but also on your own, individually, that you are all just having this heart overflowing with worship. There's a little quote here. It's really small, but A.W. Tozer, he says this: true worship that is pleasing to God radiates throughout a person's entire life. And that really is what worship is. It's our response to God kind of daily, not just once a week on Sunday. So while that is important, and we're glad that you are here, but hopefully every day that we are worshiping God. And then finally, we hope that we are a church that is focused on evangelism, that we would go into the world, that we would tell others about Christ, that would really be our mindset. And today we're going to talk a little bit more about that as we look at Acts chapter 3 and 4. But before we do that, let's go ahead and pray one more time, and then we'll get into our message for this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again just for your goodness to us. We thank you that you love us so much that you came to die for our sins so that we may have a new life that is in you. And we pray that as we get into your word this morning, that we would that you'd open up our hearts, our minds to what you want us to hear, that we would really just be convicted by you, and that we would go and tell others about this great love that you have for us. So may you really just bless this time. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There are some people who are very good at just talking to people, okay? I don't know if you know somebody like that. My older sister, Sandy, she's one of those people, okay? This is not her. But if you, she's one of those people who just engages anyone. She'll talk to people at church. She'll talk to, you know, her peers. She'll talk to parents. She'll talk to grandparents of the church. She'll go and talk to youth, to kids. She can just talk to anyone. If she was at the grocery store, she'll start talking to the person behind them about, you know, what they bought. And she's just one of those people who engages people and enjoys, you know, conversation and just talking. My dad is kind of like that as well. A couple of weeks when I preached, we talked about how, you know, he had a plumber come over to fix our sink. And he would just, you know, talk to the plumber, ask him, you know, what he's doing, how, you know, all this stuff. And he's just people like that who really enjoy just kind of talking to people. I don't know if you know, again, people like that. Maybe you are one of those people who just really enjoys just talking to people. Me, on the other hand, okay, not so much. I am like this untalkative bunny. It's actually a TV show. I never heard about it. But I'm an untalkative bunny. I guess that's what I am. I don't really have much to say, usually, unless it's about sports or about movies and TV shows. Like, I don't really, usually have much to say, and I'm pretty quiet usually, which is a little bit odd because, you know, as a pastor, you're usually trying to engage people and stuff like that, but I'm not really talkative, and so, you know, in a large group setting, usually I'll just kind of stay back and just let other people kind of talk. I enjoy listening. I think I'm a pretty good listener, but, yeah, not much of a talker, and so much so that when I started dating May, or pursuing May, I was really nervous about that, and I remember when she finally accepted going on our first date, I was really worried, because I thought that this would be, you know, our date would be like this. It would be awkward, a lot of awkward silence, and we're just like, so, how's it going? Good. Yeah. Like, that's what I was afraid of. I was afraid that our whole night, you know, would just be quiet, and I wouldn't know what to do, and I'd be really uncomfortable. Because, again, I'm not really much of a talker. And May is actually, you know, pretty quiet, too. She enjoys listening as well. So we're both, you know, more on the quiet side. And so we're a little bit nervous, like, okay, is this just going to be all silent the whole, you know, night? We're just eating our food and just staring at each other. And that'd be really weird. So I was talking to my friends about this, and they said, you know what, great idea. Why don't you guys go to Dave & Buster's, right? So it's interactive, right? You can have a meal, but then you can also go and, you know, enjoy, play some games, do interactive things together. So I took their advice, and I went, and it was really good. We did have a good meal. There wasn't that much awkward conversation. It was good. Everything went well. We had a lot of fun going and just, you know, hanging out together. And so good call on my friends. But anyways, when it comes to evangelism, I think a lot of us, when we hear that, we're like, okay, I don't want to talk to people. Like, you're kind of like me. Even if you're one of those people that enjoy talking to people, when you hear evangelism, you know, you kind of back off. Pastor Tim showed this picture last week about this person who's just freaking out about evangelism, scared. You hear evangelism, you're like, oh, that's not for me, right? Let the experts do it, the pastors. That's what they're for. But for me, no. Go ahead, let somebody else do it. And we're afraid, right? We don't want to talk to people. We don't want to go out of our way to talk to people about Christ. But what we see from today's passage, as we look at through Acts 3 and 4, is some things that hopefully, as we look through it, you'll see that evangelism isn't all that scary, or is not as bad as you might think it is. Yes, it's still difficult. Yes, it is still uncomfortable at times. But as we look through it, I think there's a few things that we can pull from it to say, hey, you know what? I can do this. You know, evangelism might not be as scary as what I thought it'd be. So again, if you have your Bibles or your phones or whatever it is, please open them up to Acts chapter 3. And we're actually going to look at chapters 3 and 4. So we're in the book of Acts, and we're in chapter 3 and 4. And since we're going to go through the whole passage, the whole chapter of 3 and 4, I'm not going to read it all to you. I'm going to just kind of summarize kind of what's going on. So you can follow along, you could kind of just listen and hear what, you know, this story, okay, about Peter and John. So what we find in Acts chapter 3 is that Peter and John, they were going to go to the temple to pray, okay? And this is a good thing to do, to go and, you know, to pray. And every day, there is this beggar man who gets put in front of the temple. So he's a cripple. This man who has not been able to walk since birth. Okay, so he's a cripple man. And his friends, thankfully he has a few friends, would come, bring him, set them down in front of the temple gates. And he would sit there and he'll ask for money. You know, please, you know, somebody help me. You know, would you give me any, you know, any money? Help me, right? That's who this crippled man would do. Now Peter and John, they're going to the temple, and so they see this man, right, who's begging for money, and they turn, they call to him, and they say, "Hey, you, look at us. And so this guy turns, he looks at them, and he's like, "Oh, yes," you know, and they made eye contact, and he's like, "Great, you know, somebody is going to come, and somebody's going to give me some money, because that's, you know, that's what I'm asking for." Right? So they come, Peter and John, they move towards him, and this is what they say. They break out into song, and they say, "Silver and gold, I have none." You guys know that song? It's a children's. I don't know all of the song. They don't break out into song. But they say this. They say, "Silver and gold, we don't have any of that. Right? But this is what I'm going to give to you." And the beggar man's probably like, "Oh, great. You know, thanks. You're just going to give me advice, right? That's just what it is. Yeah. You're just going to tell me what to do, because I don't have any money for you, but this is what I'm going to give you." But instead, this is what they say, right? "I don't have silver, gold, we don't have any of this stuff. But what I give you, I give to you. In the name of Jesus, stand up and walk." Right? So they converse him and say, "Okay, this is what we have. In the name of Jesus, stand up and walk." And immediately they're going to reach out, grab his hand, pick him up, and immediately his ankles get strong, his feet get strong, and he starts walking around. He's like, "I can walk, I can jump, right? I can do all these things." He starts, you know, running around, and he's so excited, right? So as Peter and John, they continue to go into the temple, right? They're going to pray, And this guy, he like follows them, right? And he's like running around, jumping, and he's like praising God because he was healed. And all of a sudden, the people start noticing, like, wait, you know, there's that man. Wasn't he the one who is always sitting in front of, you know, the gates? And, you know, he's crippled. We know he's been a cripple for life, you know, and now he's jumping around, he's dancing, like, what's going on, right? And so Peter takes this opportunity, and he's like, all right, you guys, well, let me tell you, you know, who did this. It wasn't us. It was in the power, in the name of Jesus, that this guy was healed. And Jesus is the one who was prophesied about. He's the one who came, who died, you know, to give you guys life and all these things. And people were listening. They were amazed by, you know, what was going on. In chapter 4, as we get there, oh, sorry, here he is, there's Peter, they're talking to people, right, telling them about Christ. Now, in chapter 4, what we see is that the temple priests, right, they weren't very happy with what Peter and John were doing because they didn't believe in Jesus. They didn't think that Jesus was the Messiah. They didn't believe in who he claimed to be. They were the ones, in fact, that killed, you know, Jesus, right? They put him on trial. They crucified him. And so they didn't believe him. They didn't like what Peter and John were saying. And so what they do is they arrested them. Okay, you're arrested. You're no longer going to, you know, be able to, you know, talk to anybody anymore. We're going to put you in jail. So they did that. They threw in, it was already nighttime. And so they put him in trial overnight. And then the next morning, you know, we'll get to you guys. The next morning comes, and they gather all the big names. So if you read in chapter 4, a lot of big rulers came together. Annas, the high priest, was there. Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, all these other people. These big names, like, I'm not too sure who all these people are, but when the Jewish people read this, like, oh, really? Annas was there? Oh, and Caiaphas, right? They're big names, right? They got together, and they're like, okay, you know, what should we do? Right? There's these two guys, they're telling about Jesus, you know, we don't know what to do with them. So they took them out, they brought them on trial, and they're like, all right, Peter, John, you know, what did you guys do? You know, why, you know, how do you guys heal this man, you know? And again, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, pretty much said the same thing he did the day before. He's like, it's Jesus, right? It's not in our own power. It was through the name of Jesus that this man was healed. Jesus is the one who came to die. You guys were the one who crucified him. Don't you remember him, right? But he resurrected, and he was alive. And, you know, this is the power that comes through believing in Jesus Christ. He gave them the gospel message again. And again, the high priest, they didn't know what to do. Right, they didn't know what to say because this man was, you know, this crippled man. They know this crippled man. He was healed, and they saw it with their own eyes. But they didn't know what to do. They didn't like what they were hearing, and so they just told John. They told Peter, you know what? No more. Okay, we're gonna let you go, but don't speak of Jesus ever again. And then what did they say? What was their response? This is from Acts 4 that Eric read earlier, right? But what they said was, you know what, you guys, you have to be the judge on your own. But for me, for us, we cannot help but speak of what we have seen and what we have heard. We have to tell people, this is what our experience is. We know who Jesus is. We saw him, right? We were with him. We saw him die. We saw him get, you know, crucified. We saw him alive again afterwards, right? This is what we know. So we have to tell people. You guys judge yourselves for us. We're gonna tell people. And so they let them go, the priests did, because they couldn't do anything about it. Peter and John go back to the other believers, they share with them what happened, and the believers, they're excited, they pray for more boldness to go, to continue to tell people about Christ. Okay? So this is kind of the story, chapter Acts 3 and 4, summarized there. So what can we learn here about evangelism? When we are asked to go and tell the people about Christ, there are three things. The first thing I hope that we can learn, what we see from this passage, is that we need to notice those people, right? Okay, we need to be aware of those around us. Okay, so thank you for noticing this notice. Your notice has been noticed. And this is the attitude that we need to have. So for Peter and John, again, there's this crippled man that was there. He's been sitting there for many, many years, just sitting there asking for alms every day. And I'm sure people were just walking by him every single day. Same guy there, ignore him. He's always there, ignore him. I'm just going to keep going, right? Peter and John, they probably have seen this guy as well, possibly before, right? They could have easily just ignored him like everyone else. Just go right on by, go on doing their own thing. But they didn't. They stopped. They cared. They understood, hey, this is this man who is in need. Let's see what we can do to help this person. For so many of us, I think, we get so caught up in just our own everyday lives, our own kind of just bubble, our circle of friends, and that's it. We just kind of go on and we just, you know, live our life. And we don't notice, we don't recognize, hey, maybe there's other people that are kind of in our immediate kind of surrounding lives that we can talk to, that we can share with them, you know, about Christ. And it starts by having kind of this heart attitude of wanting God to, hey, asking God, hey, use me. Can you use me to actually, you know, speak, you know, into these people's lives around us? I had a seminary professor, and she shared the story with our class. I might have shared it before, but she said that one day, this is many, many years ago, her and her husband, they were going to go on a family vacation to Canada, and they're doing a camping trip. And so while they were there, setting up their camping trips, a Mountie came by. Now, for those of you guys who don't know what a Mountie is, they're the Canadian Mounted Force. They ride horses. But this Mountie was not on a horse. He was on crutches. Oh, I forgot the whole point. Before they left for this trip, her and her husband had prayed. They said, you know, we're going on this family trip, but God, would you give us an opportunity to speak, to share God with somebody? Okay, so they went into this family trip with the mindset of trying to witness to somebody. So along comes this Mountie when they're at the trip, and he's not on a horse, he's on crutches. And so they ask him, you know, what happened? You know, how do you, you know, hurt yourself? And he's like, well, you know, I was training, I was on my horse, the horse threw me off, I broke my leg, you know, and so, you know, now I'm on crutches here. And they're like, oh man, you know, that's really sad, you know, what is it like? They started having this conversation about what it's like to be a Mountie. And at that time, back then, Mounties couldn't carry firearms, okay? They can now, but back then, this is many, many years ago, they couldn't. They weren't allowed to carry firearms. And so, you know, they're like, whoa, isn't that, like, scary? Because, you know, you're trying to arrest criminals, and what would happen if, you know, they have firearms? And like, yeah, you know, the guy's like, yeah, and it is pretty scary. I sometimes worry about my life, you know, what's going to happen. And at that moment, you know, the professor, she said, you know, alarm bells kind of went off in her head, and she's like, hey, this is a great opportunity. This is a chance for me to share, you know, about my faith, about, you know, life after death kind of a thing. And so she asked him, you know, what do you think, you know, about life after death? And he's like, I don't know. I have no clue. And so they talked, you know, and she shared her faith about what they believe, how, you know, they believe that, you know, they have this life with Christ and all these things, you know. And the guy did not come to know Christ that day. But the following week, as they were there for that week, he came by again and again, and they just had more and more conversations. And by the end of that week, the guy, not only him, came to know Christ, but his whole family did. He actually brought his family, and they had, you know, conversations with them too, as well. And my professor, I remember her saying this very clearly. She's like, if we had not gone into that trip with the mindset of, I want to share God with somebody, they probably would have just ignored, you know, this person. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, okay, and let him go by and continue on just enjoying their time. But because they were ready, because they had asked God, hey, God, give me this chance, you know, give me the, you know, an opportunity to share Christ. When that came up, they noticed, they recognized it, and they jumped, and they took that opportunity. And so that's the thing for us, okay? First thing first, do you notice those people around you? Even your friends, maybe even your family members, do you notice, know what's kind of going on in their life, right? Your friends, your coworkers, your classmates, your neighbors, people you might see on a regular kind of a basis. Are you aware of what they're going through, right? Maybe they are in need of Christ. Maybe they're in need of hearing, you know, something about God, and you could be the one to tell them. So that's the first thing that we need to do, okay? Be aware. Go into it with a mindset of wanting to tell people about Christ. The second thing that we're to do is we are to tell our story, okay? To share our story. If you look at the passage again in Acts, this is what Peter and John said when the priest told them not to tell anyone, right? This is the passage we read. Peter and John replied, "Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." Again, for Peter and for John, what their heart was, is, you know what? We are just telling people about our own experience. They weren't there trying to debate whether, you know, Jesus was, you know, the Son of God or not. They're just saying, this is what we know, right? This is who, you know, what we have seen. This is what we have heard. This is what, you know, Jesus has told us to do. And so that's what we're doing. We're just doing, you know, we're just sharing what we've experienced. I think for many of us, we kind of get caught up when it comes to evangelism, and we get scared, right? For a lot of different reasons. There's a lot of different ones. I think one of them is because we're afraid that we won't have all the answers, right? We're afraid that when we talk to people about Christ, they're going to ask us about predestination and free will, and we're like, oh, no, I don't know. I don't know how to answer that question, right? Or they might ask us these difficult questions about, you know, why do, you know, bad things happen to good people, or vice versa? Why do good things happen to bad people, right? And we're like, those are tough questions. I don't know, you know, how to answer. Or they might like try to point to some random passage in the Bible and be like, can you explain this verse to me? And you'll be like, I don't know. I haven't, you know, I don't know. And so we get afraid, right? Because we might not have all the answers, right? And like, if I can't answer all those questions, I'm not going to tell people about Christ. But what Peter and John, they are saying is, you know what? It's not an argument. We're not here to debate you, guys. We're not here to try to, you know, do all that. We're just telling you our own experience. And that's what it starts with, okay? People can't really argue with your own personal experience. This is what I have experienced. This is what I have seen and heard. I'm just telling you. That's it, you know? And that's why we ask our youth group every week, what has God been doing in your life? What has God been doing in your life? Think about those things, because God is doing something in your life, and you can share that with people around you. If you're to ask me what God has been doing in my life, I can point to a lot of different things, right? I can point to the story of my seminary degree graduation, how it took me 10 years to finish, and yet through that process, God clarified for me, this is what I want you to do. This is who I want you to be. And that was a long process, but I can share, hey, this is what God did through that experience. I can share about God's provision for us in our home when May and I, we bought our condo, and how the timing was just perfect. Everything just happened just so that we could get the keys on Friday so that we can move out of our old place by Monday or Tuesday, you know, and like it took a process that usually takes months. We did it in a month and a half, you know, to actually find a place and purchase it. And it's crazy, but that's God. That's our way of experiencing what God has done. I could share about different Taiwan mission experiences that I've been on, right? There was one time, this is the first year that I went to Taiwan mission, and the weather was crazy. And we had prayed that, God, you know, would you please stop the rain? Because we want, you know, there's certain activities that the kids do outside. And one of them being, you know, a big water fight that they always do. And like, if it's raining, there's no purpose in having a water fight outside. So God, would you please stop the rain? And guess what? It was raining right up until the hour that we're supposed to go out, and the rain stops. We go outside, and the kids have the fun. After that, we go back in, starts raining again. And rain. And it's like, oh, well, that's so crazy, right? God did something kind of cool. A miracle, I would say, for that. And there's other stories about that. Talk about just, you know, when I go travel and just look out and see God's beauty in all creation, just being like, wow, you know, God, you made this, you know, how amazing, you know, how wonderful, you know, how great you are, you know, just by creation. We could talk about experiencing God's love through marriage, through our story, my story with May, and, you know, experiencing how to love and forgive and how to, you know, be forgiven and all these things, all because of, you know, our relationship. And I see glimpses of God kind of in our story together. I can talk about our youth group and how I've seen kids change because of that. I see when they, you know, have questions about God, and I see them struggling, and when they get it, like, oh, I get it now. And it's kind of cool to see these stories, these different stories. And this is my experience. This is how I know God is real. And it's not me trying to convince you guys, again, not trying to convert you guys to be Christians or whatever, but this is just my story. This is my experience. And I can do that, and I can share that with you. And you can do the same with your friends, with your neighbors, with your, you know, whoever it is, right? Just tell them your story. Share with them. Hey, this is what I've experienced. Let me tell you about it. And another thing I think, and I kind of mentioned this, but I think we kind of get afraid because we feel like we have to sell Jesus to people, right? Like at the end of this, by the end of, you know, us sharing about God, they have to come to know Christ. And there's this little comic here, and he says, you know, if you transfer for your personal religion today, you'll receive, as an inductory offer, you know, forgiveness and guaranteed everlasting life. And we kind of, I don't want to be a salesman or trying to come off all like, you know, trying to sell God to people. We're not trying to sell God to people. We're just telling them, again, our experiences. We can't change people's hearts, okay? We can't do any of that. That's only God. Only the Holy Spirit can convict. Only the Holy Spirit is going to change someone's life. But we can still do our part in sharing about, hey, this is our experience. This is what I've seen. I've seen people be changed before, you know, and I know God can change your life. And we do that, okay? So telling people evangelism, again, doesn't always have to be debating and arguing all these questions. Yes, there will come a point, I think, is good when if your friends have these deep questions, it's good to answer them, right? And we'll get, you know, hopefully they'll continue to come to church and, you know, we can have engaged conversations with other pastors and other believers and, you know, we can answer some of those questions. But again, the initial thing, the initial starting point is just you sharing your testimony, you sharing your experience, okay? So be aware, share your testimony, and very quickly, number three, don't ever, ever give up, okay? Even though you failed once, twice, three times, you keep missing the ball, keep falling down, don't give up. Keep praying for the person, keep going, keep asking for boldness. Again, we read at the real end of this passage, this is what, after John and Peter, they go back and tell the believers, this is what they say. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. They say, you know what? God, you're the one that can change. Give us boldness so that we may continue to go. There were threats on their lives, right? They were not safe to tell people about Christ, and yet they asked God, give us this boldness to do it. Help us so that we may continue to tell people about Christ. That's the same for each one of us. Do not give up on those you've been praying for, that you've been trying to witness to, tell people about Christ. Keep telling them about God. Keep praying for them. There's a story about George Mueller. He's an evangelist, a pretty well-known Christian evangelist, and he started an orphanage and did a lot of great work. But there's a story about him and how he was praying for five of his friends, okay? And it took a few months before the first friend came to know Christ. It took 10 years for the next two friends to come to know Christ. It took 25 years for the fourth friend to come to know Christ. And he did not stop praying for his fifth friend for 52 years until he passed away. But it wasn't long after that, after he passed away, shortly, that the fifth friend actually came to know Christ and accepted Christ as his own personal savior as well. It took 52 years for him to pray for five friends, but he did not give up. He kept praying, kept talking to his friends about God. And so sometimes it may take months, it may take years, but don't give up. Keep telling people, keep sharing, and know that God loves them and, you know, in his time can convict their hearts, right? But don't give up. One really last quick note about boldness. Our youth group, we've been going through we just finished a sermon series by Andy Stanley called Go Fish. And it was about evangelism. He's talking about boldness. And he's saying that a lot of times for us, we think boldness is standing on a street corner, like, you know, trying to yell at people, or again, just going cold turkey and trying to tell strangers just about, you know, Christ and just go right in there. But he said boldness is really this. It's about speaking up when the opportunity presents itself. Kind of like my professor who prayed and saw that opportunity come up. Boldness is just taking that opportunity and just saying, hey, I'm going to share with you about Christ. And so pray that for yourselves, that you guys would be bold in just being a kind of, again, aware and being ready so that when those chances come, when your friend is hurting, you can come by and say, hey, you know, let me share with you about how God has comforted me in this time. Or when, you know, there's joy in your life, that, hey, I want to share with you, this is what God has been doing in my life. You know, to be aware of those situations, to be bold, to take those opportunities, take those chances. That's what boldness is. And the really cool thing, the really great thing is this. I'm going to close with this. Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. We pray for boldness. God's going to give us boldness. He answers the prayers of his people. And so let's come as a body and let's really have this heart of wanting to tell people just what God is doing in our lives, to be aware of those people, to pray for boldness, to not give up. Let's do that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you again just for, just for what you've done in our lives, just the different ways that you kind of popped up and shown up in our lives. And we pray that we would be bold, that we would go and we would tell just our neighbors, our friends, our family members about you, about the things that you're doing in our lives, that we would not give up. We pray that you'd give us eyes to see what you see, the heart that you have, so that we can really connect with those people around us and know that they're hurting and sharing God with them. And so help us, to be a good friend, a good brother, sister, son, daughter, a good neighbor to those who need you, to need to hear you more, and that we would go and share you with them. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay, just want to mention we'll have a couple more opportunities for you to choose from the songs on the list in your bulletin. But as a response, let's sing number 6.